A5. Number 17A.
All right. I'm going to read to you the prophet Joel. Joel, after Hosea. Now, Joel was the prophet who showed how to handle animal magnetism in his way and through his symbolism. And it's a very illustrative way that he does it, and I think once one has seen the story, one never forgets it anymore. The way he deals with that question, is there animal magnetism? What's the fact about animal magnetism? How can I deal with animal magnetism? So he starts out and says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Bethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Can you hear? He asked them, I'm going to tell you a story, and don't forget the story. Huh? Keep it in your mind, and tell it through generations and generations. What? That which a palmer worm has left has the locust eaten, and that which the locust has left, that the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm has left has the caterpillar eaten. Doesn't seem that much has been left afterwards. Can you see animal magnetism? How these palmer worms and locusts and cankerworms and caterpillars just come creeping, crawling away, eating up everything? Like all the various evil thoughts, negative thoughts that try to come and flood our thinking and our consciousness and try to take away and eat up everything good that we have within us, until we feel so depressed and so miserable that we think there is nothing good about us anymore. So he says, awake, ye drunkards. Can you see the call of mind to awake us to come and think anew and think differently? Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land. You see, always when the prophets were trying to show that there is an evil power at work, that then they would call the nations have come against them, because they considered all the other nations as evil nations because they didn't have Jehovah as their God. But they always experienced something, namely that the gods of the other nations were much stronger than their God. They were always, they always lost the battle against all the other nations. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number. Can you hear? Powerful mind, limitless, powerful mind, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. That's a strong teeth, huh? The teeth of a lion. And he has the cheek teeth of a great lion. You can really see what he wants to depict. Here comes a nation strong and without number. Powerful, like a lion, huh? Just kind of with his big teeth, and you just feel there is no way out, huh? He has laid waste my wine waste, and barked my fig tree. He has made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Can you see what he wants to say? That that nation, that animal magnetism that just crept over the whole land, over our whole consciousness, strong, numberless. The arguments of animal magnetism are so numberless, and they seem to be like a lion with his big teeth, and it comes and lies waste everything. So you have a feeling of that mortal mind is mightier than the divine mind, that it has power to destroy and lay waste. So what can you do about such a situation? And he goes and changes the subject and says, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. There, the wonderful language. If they wanted to say, really lament, mourn, well, they didn't just say mourn, lament. They took a symbol that was really strongly indicating that there is reason for lamenting, namely like a virgin that has lost her husband in their youth. So she must have been very sad. So it says, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests of the Lord's ministers mourn. So he had lamenting, mourning. The field is wasted. The land mourneth. Even the land mourneth. For the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up. The oil languishes. Even the oil languishes. Be ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, howl. Can you hear all? Can you hear that the complete new tone is coming in? It was lamenting, mourning, mourning, howling, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. Can you see how everything is laid waste, that there is nothing left there, no substance left there, all the goody-goodies are taken away, nothing is anymore there, and therefore says, lament, mourn. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, no more substance, dead. Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. To lie in sackcloth was to mourn. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. I leave out until 17. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. Can you hear how he just shows a terrific, picturesque picture? Can you say that? Wonderful picture of absolute substanceless. Everything is taken away. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? Even the beasts groan and lament. The herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry. For the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame has burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire has devoured the pasture of the wilderness. He can't repeat it enough to repeat it and repeat it. There is nothing left anymore, There's just no substance left anymore. Those creepy crawlings, they just come. And they come in by the thousands and by the thousands. And what do? They take away everything we have. Mortal mind just comes in into our consciousness and eats up everything we have, which is good, which is substance, and tries to take everything away so that there is something within us that says, I lament, I mourn, I groan. What is that? Which beatitude is that? Blessed are those that mourn, Because they shall be comforted, Which beatitude is that? Second, spirit. See, they knew those tones at the time of the prophets already. But they put it into language that was imaginative, that they could, so to say, use nature as an example and just show how everything is taken away, and then there is really occasion for mourning over the wrong. Chapter 2, Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. If you have a good tonality, you see at once she begins with soul. Joel begins with soul. The moment you have the trumpets in Zion and sounding an alarm, you just hear, whirr, now soul comes in and just says, I'm not giving up. I'm tough enough. I muster now my whole army. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. See, he says, here comes that whole army of animal magnetism, and it will come once and great, but it will no more come afterwards. Once one has seen through animal magnetism, it loses its sting. So how does that whole army of animal magnetism come? It says, a fire devours before them. Fire goes before them, before that locust and canker worm and caterpillars and what was palmer worms. Like a fire in front of it comes that army. And behind them a flame burns, burning up everything. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them. Yes, the Garden of Eden is naturally a sense of soul, of beauty, of joy, of harmony before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Can you hear? Wilderness is the counterfeit of soul. Before them, it is as if animal magnetism could take away everything from us, all the soul sense of us, the joy, the harmony, the balance, the happiness, the freedom, could just eat it up so that when it has gone over that ground, that there is nothing left, wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Here you even have the definiteness of soul. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. You have to know that for the Israelites, horses were just a horror, because Israel didn't have any horses. And so when they went into battle, the enemy always came with horses, and they were helpless against horses. And so for them, horses was the horror of horror. If they had to fight against an army with horses and chariots, That was really like today if we would have to go against tanks and brick cannons and jet airplanes and so on, just with a rifle or with a revolver in our pocket. That's how they felt at that time. They only had their spear and their little hand weapons, and here they came with horses and chariots. Chariots were very frightful for them because they couldn't get near to the people on the chariot. So one has to know this. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots, oh, here they come. On the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Can you hear how they depict now animal magnetism as that army that comes with horses, with chariots, right down from the mountain, coming down? That's always having the advantage when an army can come down from the mountain instead of going up the mountain. We know that in Switzerland. We always won our wars that way. Coming down from the mountain when they wanted to come up. Yeah. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. You can just see how they were afraid. All faces shall gather blackness. Huh? They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall. Now, can you see the picture? Huh? He depicts now that army that is coming. That army of cankerworms and palmerworms and locusts and so on. They are just coming. They're coming like a big army. Set in array for battle. There are the chariots. There are the horses before their chariots. Before the horses there are flames coming and burning up. And they come down from the mountain. And Israel is just afraid. And they come and say, like the noise of the chariots, yes. Before 7, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Can you see how that platoon is not broken up when they attack? They just come and come and come in and come in by the thousand, come in, and you can't break it up. They just roll over you. Can you hear that definiteness of purpose that is in animal magnetism? Just intentional animal magnetism. How they climb up the walls and go over the walls. Neither shall one thrust another. They don't fall on each other. They shall walk everyone in his path. Can you see the definiteness? Everything has its place, its definiteness, and is organized very well. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They are really terrific. They shall run to and fro in the city. See, they have now gone over the walls and they come now into the city. They run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Can you see? They just come through every pore, in wherever they can, through all the streets, through all the windows. They just enter every house. And you have a feeling that's how animal magnetism works until one feels licked. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Suddenly he tells them that this army is the Lord's army, and not the army of animal magnetism. His army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Can you see the picture? The first part of that chapter shows the terrific argument and claim of animal magnetism as something that cannot be withstood. It just comes into every pore and just tries to get hold of everything in the city of God. And when that point is reached, then comes the turning. Then comes the turning and says, it's still time. The only thing that is necessary, turn ye to the Lord. Don't go out from the mesmeric belief that you see. Turn to the Lord. And he asks them to, what is that term to the Lord? Soul, where we identify ourselves with the divine. Says, don't identify yourself with what you see with your eyes and what is going on. Don't believe what you have seen. Identify yourself and turn to the Lord. And it goes on and says, come to a break. Then will the Lord be jealous of his land. Can you see? At that point, he begins to see that the moment we turn to the Lord, then the Lord will be jealous of his land. That means he will look after his land. He will look after his people. Then principle begins to operate. Now, principle does not begin to operate as long as we believe in the belief of animal magnetism. But if we turn away from the belief of animal magnetism and turn to the Lord, then principle comes into operation and says, the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn, see, and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. 21. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Can you see? What is that? What tone is that? For the Lord will do great things. Principle operating. Demonstration of principle. The proof of principle. 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat. You get now the complete different picture than at the beginning. will now be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Isn't it terrific? He begins to show that that army wasn't an army of animal magnetism. It doesn't exist. That it is my great army. And that that great army will do what? It will do the very opposite of what physical sense testimony has said. It will give us everything. It will fill the barns. And it will restore to us everything what the locusts and the palmer worms and the cankerworm and the caterpillar seem to have eaten up. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you. The demonstration of principle. And my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Always when you have that sense, I am in the midst of Israel, you know it's principle. Principle is in the midst of the seventh synonymous term. It's the center and circumference of everything. And that I am the Lord your God and none else. There is no other Lord, no Lord of animal magnetism. And my people shall never be ashamed. So you get to the tone of principle. Can you see how wonderful? The moment he said, turn ye to the Lord in soul, the whole picture changes. That very thing that seemed to be the army of animal magnetism becomes suddenly the army of the divine principle. That in the moment we turn to the Lord, look out from God, we can only see the operation of the divine principle that always gives us full and plenty. Yes, I have to stop here quickly.